Today we're going to finish the series that I started on the story of Joseph. And I do have a story at the end of it that I was trying to get to come out on the recording, but I'll have to tell it because I couldn't get it to come through. Very powerful and very impacting. But I don't know about you, but I've just really, really, really enjoyed studying about the life of Joseph and the impact he had. And I'm going to say this at the beginning, and I hope I say this at the end. But if there was one thing that we had have to remember or could remember that marked the life of Joseph was an unadulterated ability to walk in total forgiveness. And had he not done that, he would not have saved the planet, because he did save the planet after 7 years of plenty and 7 years of not plenty. But that was, it's just amazing how he went through what he went through. And never in Scripture does it ever record a cross word that he would have spoken, a bad attitude, unforgiveness, nothing. It is void. He kept his heart pure and right and forgiving. And it is. It's so easy to walk in unforgiveness because the flesh loves that. But he was actually able to walk in the spirit of forgiveness. Amazing. And so I just want to emphasize that about the life of Joseph. Very good. And I'm thankful for that. And so as we review about the significance that we looked at last week, is Joseph's obedience led him the ability to save the world. He became second in command in Egypt, which was the largest country in the world at the time. Genesis 41. And Pharaoh, and I talked about this last week, how Pharaoh took off his signet ring, the ring of authority, and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in the garments. We talked about the three garments last week. I'll get to that in a second. And then the gold chain around his neck that he traded the chains of prison to the chains of authority. And the chariot that he rode in and was second in command underneath the Pharaoh. But the three garments, the garment of favor that he had from his father. My ring I wear is from my father. It's very special to me. It's not, if somebody said, why don't you put a bigger diamond in it? No, this was his, and I'm going to leave it his. And I think that's important to me. The garment of favor. And then the garment of false accusation, the garment that Potiphar's wife held up and said, here, he tried to rape me. And of course, that's what ended him up into prison the second time. And then, of course, the garment of redemption, which led to the significance in his life. We may not think that seven people, three, six, eight people in the midst of this congregation make a difference, but we do make a difference. We do make a difference. And there's a believer, a business believer, that came to me not too long ago, and he said, don't quit praying because it has made a difference. Your church has made a difference in this city, and don't quit, and don't quit. So be encouraged. It's not about the number, it's about the power. You can have a lot of people not walking in the power, and it's worthless. So we want to walk in the power. Amen? So the storyline with Joseph, remember he was a Hebrew. And there were 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt, and now they were in the second year of famine. So we've moved into 9 years of Joseph being second in command in Egypt. And those 7 years of plenty, we know that he saved it, right? We need to be reminded of that in terms of where he was at. And so, of course, that hit the land of where Joseph his family was, and so his father and his brothers, Jacob sent his brothers to Egypt to buy grain, and they left the younger brother Benjamin at home, which was the interesting thing, because when his brothers came to Joseph and said, we want to buy some grain, Joseph recognized him. Joseph recognized him. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what went through his heart? Seeing, my brothers, they're still alive. And, you know, how's your father? How is dad? He's saying, is dad still okay? You know, and do we have any more? Yeah, you've got a younger brother, you know, Benjamin. And so can you imagine what was going through his mind and his heart at that time? I mean, he had to have been leaping up and down about the whole thing on the inside. And so he tricked him, and they had to go home and come back, and that whole story. I didn't have time to go through all that. But when they came back with Jacob and Benjamin, he revealed himself to his brothers, and he says, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine for 1 minute how Joseph felt? But imagine how the brothers felt. We told dad you were dead. We took blood and put it on your coat of favor and said, you were dead. Can you imagine the grief and the shame that his brothers went through at that second in time? Yeah, it was an amazing confrontation. It was an amazing clash between those two. It was really interesting. So Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And he had such a an opportunity to walk in forgiveness. He was totally walking in forgiveness. He loved him. Said, we're gonna take care of you. Really cool. So they went back and forth. They got it all taken care of. And then when Jacob, Joseph's dad, met Pharaoh, it was really interesting. In Genesis chapter 47, verses 10 through 12, the first four words of this verse, verse 10, so Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Wow. One was a Hebrew. One was a heathen of the biggest nation on the planet. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh, because he'd taken care of his son. And he went out from before Pharaoh, verse 11. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses and of Pharaoh he had commanded. Verse 12. And then Joseph provided for his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the number of their families. Hallelujah. So here, Joseph, who could have walked in bitterness and resentment and anger and unforgiveness, chose to walk in forgiveness and love, and was brought to a place where he was situated where he could bless his family. Wow. Just wow. That's all I can say. This story just wows me. What a neat deal that was. And even to bless the man that put him into position. Amazing blessing. So Genesis 47, verse 27 says this. So Israel, Jacob, dwelled in the land of Egypt and in the country of Goshen. This is where the land of Goshen came into play, because we know that they grew. Look at this. And they had possessions there, and they grew. What'd they do? Everyone, they grew. Say it again. They grew, and they multiplied. They didn't just add. They multiplied. 2 plus 2 is 4, plus 2 is 6, plus 2 is 8, plus 2. 2 times 2 is 4, 4 times 2 is 8, 8 times 2 is 16, 16 times 2 is 32, and on. Multiplication is much faster, much greater than just addition. It's amazing. And they multiplied exceedingly. That's how the children of Israel grew in the land of Egypt. And they grew so big, and we know the whole story with Moses, right? So anyway, so I want to fast forward in this story a little bit to the death of Joseph in Genesis 50, verse 24. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. What a prophecy. Holy tamales. Here he's ready to die, and he's prophesying his last wish was to see them go back to the land of Israel. out of the land of Goshen. Hallelujah. You get the picture? All right. So let's look at some of these significant bullets to take home today. Joseph was a dreamer. And it's interesting, as I share in the different services, the response I sometimes get. But I said, dreams are still effective today. They still happen today. Amen. I know I'm talking to the preaching to the choir here, but some people have never heard that. They still can give us direction. Number two, tests. Tests are part of life. And what do tests normally do? They build character in our lives. Now, there's some tests I don't mind, and there's some tests I'd rather not have to go through. Somebody can say amen to that. But the purpose of that is to build character. So let's just look at James 1. We're going to look at this in the Amplified. In the old King James, it says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." But it says, "Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials or testings. Be assured that the testing of your faith," that's the experience that we have, "produce endurance." So what do tests do? They help us to learn endurance for the long run, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. "And let endurance have its perfect result, and doing a thorough work, so that you may be perfect or mature and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing." So that our faith does not fall short. He does not want us to lack in the area of faith. So, if we don't pass the test the first time, oftentimes what happens? We get to take it again. I didn't pass biochemistry, and I took that test again. I went in and told my instructor, I said, "I'm not going to flunk it a second time, and you're going to get me through this." And I parked my rear end on his desk, literally, and said, "You're going to get me through this, because I'm not taking this class over." So, and I passed it, obviously. Praise the Lord for that. All right, number three. Can't get this said enough. Continual, perpetual forgiveness of others is essential. Continual, perpetual forgiveness of others is essential. And you know, church, people don't realize that forgiveness is a choice. It is not an emotion. You stick your emotion in your choices and they'll screw up. But you take the emotion out and realize that forgiveness is a choice. And sometimes you got to say it out loud over and over and over until it happens, until you're at peace with whatever you need that forgiveness with. Very important. And I'll get to the, what about the really, really, really big things? If you go back in your memory a little bit, you think about maybe one of the really, really, really big things that you had to forgive somebody or somebody's for. I'm going to share a story in just a minute. But what I really want to emphasize here is there is a grace for any forgiveness needed. Come on, church. There's grace. God, thank you for grace. There's a grace for anything anybody's ever done in the past, in the present, and in the future. There's a grace for that forgiveness. Amen? And Joseph walked in that utmost. That's the whole point I'm really trying to get today, is as if it hadn't been for Joseph's ability to walk in forgiveness, we wouldn't be here. The planet would have died, except for the Egyptians. Anyway, so I tried to get this story to come across the sound, but it wouldn't work. So I'm going to do the best I can to tell this story. And it says Dr. Rutland. Dr. Rutland was a president of Oral Roberts University for a period of time. And he's a guest preacher. And I heard this podcast. He was preaching at Jensen Franklin's church recently. And he told this story of forgiveness that absolutely gripped my heart. And when I played the story to Mary, she gasped. When I told the story this morning at Lake Church, there was a gasp, a literal gasp in the congregation. It's an amazing story. But you know what? We'll see the parallel to the story of Jesus. So he was preaching, Dr. Rutland was preaching at a revival in Ohio. It was a five-night revival. And this was the third night. And I can say this here, but he was preaching on receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody here had the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he was preaching on that. And so this one guy came up to the altar. He's about 6'5". And he was just weeping. Just weeping. And so Dr. Rutland said, would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He says, I can't. I can't. I just have something in my heart. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. The guy's just weeping. Just weeping. And he says, well, why not? Dr. Rutland asked him. This is at the altar. And so this man says, well, you don't know me, but I'm a deputy sheriff. And 2 years ago, I was called out on a call to the local bar where there was a shooting. And so they walked in and realized that somebody had walked in with a shotgun and had shot a young lady and literally just about cut her in half. So he said, I shackled the perpetrator. I got his weapon away from him, got him chained up, and we took him away. And we rolled over the body and realized it was my daughter. Can you imagine? Rolling her over. This is my daughter. Cut in two. And they had to hold him back. They had to hold him back. His partners had to hold him back from killing the perpetrator. And so, fast forwarding a little bit, of course, the man was on trial. And this deputy sheriff could see where the man was in jail. And he would take a high-powered rifle and sit on the train tracks every day and just hold back wanting to kill this man. So Dr. Rutland was talking to him, trying to minister to him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, so son, what do you think the worst sin in the world is? He said, this one where they killed my daughter the way they did, that's the worst sin in the world. He said, oh no, you're wrong. This is the worst sin in the world. Deicide. I never heard of deicide. Deicide. The killing of God. And he said, on the cross, they murdered God. God made man. They murdered Jesus for not doing anything wrong. He did everything right, and they murdered him. And what did he say when he was on the cross to the people that were murdering him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said that same forgiveness that came from the cross down through Jesus and down to the people around him is available to you. Do you think that you could forgive? Oh, I've tried. I've just really tried. And he said, well, I think what we're going to do is have your pastor come over here, and we're going to have him kneel in front of you, and we're going to have you lay your hands upon him and pray and ask forgiveness and forgive the man that killed your daughter. And so the pastor came over and he said, this 6 foot man shook like a leaf in the wind. He was just shaking at the pain that he was going through. And as soon as he touched the pastor's head to pray for him and to forgive the man in the stead, so to speak, this peace came over him. And he got baptized in the Holy Spirit instantly, because he forgave. So the next night, night four, Dr. Rutland went into the service and looked around, and this man wasn't there. And he went up to the pastor and said, I don't get it. I don't get why people come to a service like this, get touched like that, and then not come back. And he says, oh, no, you don't understand. The man and his wife have just driven to the state penitentiary to forgive the man that killed their daughter. Within 24 hours of getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that forgiveness came. And the reason why I told this story today in the midst of this is that Joseph had an opportunity to be offended. Joseph had an opportunity over and over and over and over. And then he had to face his family again. They didn't go away. He had to face his family again. And he had to, you know that thought occurred to him. You threw me in the pit, you bozos. You know? Yeah. You know? He had that opportunity. But what power there is in forgiveness. What power there is in forgiveness. And so I just really want to encourage us. I feel that the Lord is just saying, be on guard. Be on guard to guard your heart against unforgiveness when people do you wrong or you know, mistaken you. It says, blessed are you when people persecute you and falsely use you. Have you ever been used by somebody? It's horrible. You want to go slap them and say, don't you understand what you just did? No. God said, you're blessed because you got an opportunity to forgive them. So let's guard our hearts in this area and be grateful for that. And then the last point is, because Joseph walked in that level of forgiveness that he did, his significant changed the course of history as the 12 tribes of Israel were established in the land of Goshen because of Joseph. Woo! That's big stuff, Maynard. Amen? And how good that is. So I just want to say this as the last word about forgiveness. And I don't know why I wrote this down, but I wrote down a miracle mindset. He had such a mindset of forgiveness. It was a forgiveness mindset. What you set your mind on will bring the course of action. Amen? A forgiveness mindset. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the wonderful 8 that are here. But we thank you for the 80 billion that are right here too. The hosts of heaven. The saints that have gone forth before us, Lord. And thank you for giving us examples. Thank you for giving us help. Thank you, Lord, for the story that was told that we know we can choose to forgive. And Lord, sometimes it's hard and sometimes it takes some time. But all I can say is just get there. Just get to that place of forgiveness. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody shouted amen, please. Amen, amen and amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week.